What the Actual Fork podcast is co-hosted by two intuitive eating registered dietitians, yours truly, Sammy Previtt, owner of Fine Food Freedom, and Jenna Warner, owner of Happy Strong Healthy.
We can't stand diet culture bullshit and love keeping it real. Our mission is for all humans to believe that they are made for so much more than chasing a smaller body. We are also here to share with you that food can be fun and pleasurable again.
Although we are medical professionals, we are human beings too. We are not afraid to share our deepest, darkest secrets and how many years of our lives were taken by diet culture.
We started this podcast so no human has to feel alone in their journey towards food freedom. So get comfy and join us for a casual combo where you can expect to laugh, cry, learn, and grow.
We are so grateful that you're here. So if you enjoy this podcast and want to connect further, we invite you to follow along on Instagram at @WhatTheActualForkPod and subscribe, rate, and review our podcast so we can continue to share this message with more and more people. Now, let's get into it. Welcome back to another episode of What the Actual Fork. This is a really important episode. And I say that with
emphasis
because it was a review we got on Apple Podcasts.
I believe it was one star.
We got one star because, well, I don't say it as Jersey as you do, but I also don't say important, but apparently I'm going to call out Jenna that Jenna doesn't say the word important. Right.
So the Francis Correct. J. Fox gave us a review on March 5th that said there's literally a letter T in the word important.
Because how do you say it? Say it normally in a sentence.
I find your work very important. Now I can't say it seriously, but between that and like how loud I was just chewing, I'm like, everybody knows I'm from New Jersey.
I just think it's funny that like anyone would listen to a podcast and leave a review based on how the hosts say words.
Like, and like be so bothered by it. Like I would stop listening if I was bothered by the way somebody talked that much.
And would you ever take time out of your precious day to write that?
I'm gonna be honest with you. I very, very, very rarely.
I only leave positive reviews.
Yeah. I was going to say, I actually had to like stop that sentence because I don't think I've ever actually pressed send on a negative review before. Because Same. People work so hard and like, if it wasn't for me, it wasn't for me, but it is for somebody else.
Yeah. You know? So funny. Well, we
so
just
important.
Have to say, thank you so much for that super important review because we love it so much. But let's like do a total 180 because you just had a conversation this morning with someone that was like, your podcast has changed my life. And
yes.
Like,
and those are the things we so appreciate hearing. And more of you, if you could leave that on the page, that would just help us get into the ears of more people. And we would so appreciate it. I'm thinking if there's any other words that I say funny that I should just like toss into here right now.
I'm sure we'll find them as we stroll along in this episode, this very important episode. Now, like I'm never going to be able to say that word without thinking of this.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Thank you. And now all I can think about is my daughter. Anytime we say you're welcome, she's like obsessed with Moana.
It's the best.
I mean, she can barely speak, but she just goes, you're welcome. And she only sings it. And it's so fucking cute.
After we saw you, Noah started singing the song again because he heard her do that. And it was like the cutest thing ever. He's like, I want to listen to Maui again. I'm like, me too.
I love that movie.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
That's and so good.
For those listening, Jenna and I got to actually see each other in the human flesh. Our children got to play with each other.
And they were so cute. It's so funny because when I saw you, it didn't feel like I hadn't seen you in person in like, whatever, almost 2 years. It was just like, oh, yeah, we're just going to meet up in a park. Like a normal Sunday activity. Yeah. And like, I think it's because we see each other like so often on screen, but like, oh, human connection is so important. It's such a good reminder that we all need it.
Yeah. And like, can you imagine if we got to play at a park with our kids? Like, you and I weren't playing that much, but if we got to see each other at a park that much, like,
what a difference it would make in my mental health.
Yeah, let's like add that in here. Just like a fun fact of health in general. There's a lot of things that impact your health. One of them is our social circumstances, which actually impacts our health more than genetics and biology when we look at the determinants of health. And my social circumstances are shit. So that makes sense why my mental health suffers.
Especially in like the early stages of motherhood. I know our podcast episode today is not about motherhood, but like, especially in the early stages of postpartum, like your social circumstances are so different than even pregnancy that it's so fascinating to me, like all of the factors that impact postpartum anxiety, depression, all of the things, because a lot of it you can help, I guess, to some extent, but you really can't. And it's funny, like even being a second time mom now, like I told myself that I wasn't going to be like a psychopath and like a total like slave to nap schedules. But like, then you get into it and you understand and remember how much naps impact nighttime sleep. And you're like, yeah, I'm not messing with this nap schedule. Like, I'll see you in 3 years. Like, I'm not leaving my house.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I'm not going to name the person, but I had texted a friend because we were like briefly stopping in Hoboken yesterday before we got on our flight, because we flew out of Newark. And I was like, this is so last minute. Like, I do not expect you to come. Like, I'm throwing out an invite. Like, we're going to be in Hoboken for a few hours. If you want to swing by the park, knowing they had a new baby. And there was, you know, this long text back about how, because we had been talking previously about how they wanted to meet up. And they, I think, were struggling with connection and balance and all the things. And then the text was very similar to what you're explaining. And I saw so much of myself in their text message of like the postpartum, well, they're napping from this time to this time and eating at this time to this time. Da, 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 da. And I was like, I wonder if I'm going to be like that again, because I feel like so much of me now says, like, I would get invites all the time from moms, but I wouldn't leave the house because I was hoping for a nap. But it's like, depending on the age, like, am I gonna be able to overcome some of that and like baby wear and just say like, fuck it. But like, I don't know. And I won't know until that day. And it's going to be different every day. But like,
it is, it really is. And like, yeah. I can tell you from experience, like the beginning postpartum, I was like napping on the go and not scheduling and like whatever it was. And it was totally fine. And now as he's like a little bit older and his naps are so important for his nighttime sleep, it's like terrifying because you're exhausted and you feel like it's something that maybe this is like a bigger issue, because you feel like it's something that you can control to some extent, but you can't.
Yeah.
Right. But you do want to give them like the best opportunity to have the best outcomes, even if you can't control it. And like, that really messes with your head.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember that, like, I can easily transport myself back to that time. And that's where, but then I know like how detrimental it was to my mental health, because I, and then God forbid they don't nap you stayed home and then you're just stuck like in a dark room, like bouncing them and like literally, oh my gosh, it takes me to such dark places that I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do, but we'll figure it out.
And now like prioritizing two kids' naps, because Noah still naps. And I'm like, no, we definitely don't leave the house between 1 and 3.
Like, yeah. Don't call me between that's a hard one pass. Yes. No, and I agree with that. Like, there's definitely some things you can do of like, oh, wait, yeah, can we meet up from like, you know, 10 to noon, get all the energy out, run at the park, and then like, why not set yourself up for that if you can?
But the hardest thing is, and like, this is so funny because I was in a group chat with my cousins about this. Like, it was like, hey, is anybody available at like 10 a.m. on whatever day? And it was like, well, this guy naps from this time to this time, and this one naps from this time to this time. And it was like, the conversation ended like, I'll see you in 3 years.
I literally have this same group chat. My street, it's like a bunch of moms. We live on this cul-de-sac. Like, everyone's kids are, somewhere between probably like 9 months and like 5 years old. And it's like every Saturday we'll throw out like, okay, we're going here at this time. And it's truly that, like, that exact thing happened where it's like, well, no, I can't go. My kid naps at this time. And it's like, oh, well, I need to get out literally immediately. And then it's just like half the time, like, we never see each other. And it's just texting about that kind of stuff. And it's like,
it's just very real. And it's important to know.
You're going to have to say the word important a lot on this podcast.
It's so valuable to know that you're not alone, I think. And knowing that like other moms or parents or caregivers are experiencing that same like fear or anxiety or whatever you want to call it about something that, and I know we talked about this on an episode a long time ago, I think when Noah was really little, because I remember when he would like not finish a bottle thinking like, oh my God, he drank 3 less ounces today. Like, he's never going to sleep tonight. Like, those fears will lessen and you will learn that like, that's not like the make or break, but it's really more about the, like, how much you're setting yourself, your kids up for success and like giving them like the right environment and everything else. And at some point, like, they will get it, but you really can't, as much as we think we can, you really can't control much at all.
That's just a great lesson for anything in life. Like, true. We could just mic drop it there. But it's so funny you saying that, because I have vivid memories of like trying to like force ounces in Sienna. And then it's like funny because you look at what she we do for up. A living. Oh yeah. Then she like throws up and like has acid reflux and burping and throws like the whole bottle up just because you try to get that extra ounce or like 3 ounces down. And it's like, they're very intuitive. They know what they need. And yet, like, we want to control because the anxiety and the fear and like all
and the exhaustion. Like, nobody wants to feel the way that I feel right now. Like, I wouldn't choose this, but we're making it work.
You're making it work. You're in this season. I think that that's something that I am, like, it's really starting to hit home where like Luke and I will look at each other and be like, oh fuck, like, we're about to be in the newborn phase again. And it's like there's the duality of like, we know what to expect, so it's like less fear and anxiety, because, and not that any baby is the same, but like, I had no idea how much babies cried before. Like, I had no idea what was about to happen to me. So there's like that fact that like, I feel better in that sense, but then there's like, you also know what's around the corner from like, sure, people can talk about sleep deprivation, but until you go through it with a newborn, like, you don't actually know how it feels. And again, that's not like a bad thing. It's just like, until you experience it. And so we're like dreading, but like also obviously like so fucking grateful. And just, it's just like that weird in between.
My therapist said this to me in one of my last sessions with her before the baby was born. She was like, and she has 4 kids. And she was like, after every kid was born after my first, she was like, my husband and I would high five and say, see you in 2 years. And I didn't get that until like yesterday, when like, I literally was sitting at the island in my kitchen eating a bowl of cereal for dinner at 8 o'clock at night. And I said to Matt, I'm like, I get it now. Like, I will see you. Like, this is just not a season for you and I. Like, I'll see you in a year.
We've made it 5 months. There's definitely like the year. And then like, now, like, I'm almost at the 2 year mark, but I'm also like super fucking pregnant and don't want anyone to touch me or talk to me, let alone my husband. So I'm like, I don't know, man. It is. It is such a rough season.
It's just, and there's so little that you can control. Like, that's what it comes back down to. It's just, it's so interesting because every day is different. Dylan literally whined from 6 a.m. until 6 p.m. yesterday, like all day long. And I was so irritable and cranky and mean and no compassion and just not okay for the whole day. And like, then he slept amazing last night and woke up so happy. And I'm like, oh my God, I love you.
It's just, and you never know what kind of baby you're going to get.
No. Sam, have you had a good bowl of cereal lately?
You know that I have because I was already talking about it.
This is a layup question, is what we call that.
Spoon, yes. Magic Spoon has just supplied me with the best cereal. Like, cereal cravings are real always, but especially during pregnancy.
Oh, my God. Last night, I wonder why that is.
I guess your body needs so many carbs, I feel like.
And nostalgia.
Yeah, nostalgia, the crunch. I don't know if it's the satisfaction with the cold milk. It's so good. And usually, right, cereal is majority carbohydrate. But what I love about Magic Spoon, too, is how it has 13 to 14 grams of protein per serving, which, you know, some of the meats have just not been tickling my fancy these days. So Magic Spoon has just been like a chef's kiss.
Honestly, everything you just said about Magic Spoon is also the reasons why I love it. But there's something about the end of the milk of the fruity Magic Spoon blend and the milk at the bottom, like when you finished all the cereal in the bowl and then you drink that milk, the fruity one is just like, it sends me back to my childhood. It is so, so, so good. So hopefully this has made everybody's mouth water. And now everybody head on over to magicspoon.com/fork and you can grab a variety pack and try it today. So the variety pack has four flavors. It's the cocoa, the fruity, the frosted, and the peanut butter. All four I have personally tried and am obsessed with. And you can use our promo code FORK at checkout to save $5 off that order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product and it's backed with a 100% guarantee of happiness. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money with no questions asked, which is incredible. So try a delicious bowl of Magic Spoon cereal today at magicspoon.com/fork and use the code FORK to save $5. Thank you so much, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. It's so crazy. But anyways, this is not supposed to be a mom episode. We have like 10 minutes left and I don't have cable. So I actually did not see the special that was on last night. So this is now Tuesday. This is Monday night. Oprah had a special about Ozempic and weight loss medications. And all of social media is talking about it and I feel out of the loop. So Sam, give us an update.
Yes, let me pull up the good old social media here. So, and I want to make sure we give credit where credit is due. And, you know, there's so many professionals in our weight inclusive space that are covering this. So, you could pretty much look at any account and you'll probably find this. But the one that came up on my feed this morning was Maya Kwan, who is an anti-diet dietitian and professor. Her account is foodbody.peace. And Jen, if you go to my story, you'll see it's currently shared there. So she had posted, Oprah has a primetime special called Shame, Blame, and the Weight Loss Revolution. After watching the preview and clips of the show's interviews, here's what's troubling to me as a registered dietitian specializing in disordered eating and body image. And then it's like a carousel post. And I think before we even like get into any of that, you know, when Oprah, I reshared on my story today how when Oprah had said, she didn't even say like Ozempic or Wegovy previously, but she had put out a statement a few months ago saying like, I am taking weight loss drugs, basically. And so I did a video then that reached a lot of people that I was saying like, this is not about bashing Oprah. This is not about tearing down Oprah. I mean, from some of the clips, I was getting emotional watching her get emotional about talking about how her body, I think she referred to it as like an Olympic sport of like the media tearing down her body for the past, you know, 25 plus years. And so not only like being the status of Oprah and being in that terrible limelight in the media and how like, I mean, it still happens all the time today, the body shaming and the body comments and the weight stigma in like Hollywood and whatnot. But like back in the 90s, it was so normalized, right? Like picking apart women's bodies. And then on top of that, looking at the racist roots of fat phobia and how like Oprah being a black woman on top of that. And so this, I mean, this conversation, we could probably do like a 4-part series on it, truly. But I will say it is like extra, like if you watch just a few clips on it, it is very problematic because it is pathologizing obesity as a disease, which is in need of a cure. There's teenagers on it showing like the mom was like, if my daughter didn't do this, she would be X amount of pounds by this age. It's all coming back to, and this is what Maya did really well in her post.
It's so good. I'm reading it.
Yeah, it's a wonderful post. We'll post it in the show notes and make sure to give her credit. But she keeps going back to like this idea of like weight does not equal health, because like the work she's quoting, like using prescription drugs to find your way to health, right? Or talking about just like this, the whole premise of this special is basically saying the size of somebody's body like equates to health. And it's just...
And from what I heard, it was more of like an infomercial for the medication and not an honest conversation about, you know, if this is a choice that you are going to make, here's what is not expected of you, but what you can expect. And like, number one, and Maya covers this in her post, I can see it now. What about the fact that even if you're not impacted by side effects, which we can talk about in a second, that you have to take this for the rest of your life? And in the United States, the cost is about $1,300 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's number one. And then number two is the side effects from it is not something that I feel I heard. Cause again, I didn't watch because I don't have cable.
You don't have cable or time. So you haven't watched.
But like the side effects of taking the medication, are something that before you take the medication, you should be made aware of. Right. And again, if this is a choice that then you then make, that's on you and your care team and, you know, whatever's best for you in that space. But to me, it didn't seem like that was discussed at all on this show. It was more of, you know, you should take this and we're cure XYZ.
Yeah. I saw one clip of Oprah interviewing it wasn't like a big interview. It was more her like conversating with an audience member who said they were on it and they had to come off of it because they couldn't stop throwing up and they did like throw up blood. So I was like, thank God there's like one clip of like an honest like feedback of symptoms that aren't glorifying this as like the magic answer. But it was from the clips that I saw, I think it's just such a mind fuck because I was hearing Oprah use the words that like, and she was getting upset about how like she was always blaming her body and it would, and all of these things, like again, from a provider that helps people make peace with food in their body and the stories that were being put on there, it's basically preaching that if you shrink your body, you will love yourself and like the negative self-talk will go away and that this medication is going to like cure the negative thought process and fix all of the body image trauma. And it was talking about all of the people like medical professionals or people that have bullied you. And like, those are the ones who shape how you feel about yourself. Like there's just, and again, I feel like we should probably come back to this too when we have more defined talking points, but it is extremely problematic. And there was nobody that I'm aware of that was in the eating disorder field or had any type of credentialing in eating disorders or body image. It was all air quotes obesity doctors.
I mean, this entire thread from foodbody.peace is an incredible talking point for us for future. I mean, she really puts so many things into perspective. And again, you've said this already, but to drive this point home, what she put on here is throughout the preview, it keeps using language that the show is about using prescription drugs to find your way to health. But weight doesn't equal health. And there's so much more to health and the definition of health, because prioritizing weight loss at all costs is a dangerous narrative. And so is the narrative of all larger bodies are unhealthy and must pursue weight loss. Like, wow. Like, she said it so perfectly.
So yeah, so Maya's one quote here that she quotes Oprah says, the number one thing I hope people come away with is knowing that, in quotes, obesity is a disease and it's in the brain. Like that line right there. Holy shit.
And correct me if I'm wrong. The only way that you can quote unquote diagnose or give a diagnosis of obesity is through BMI. Is that correct?
Correct. The size of someone's body, right? So that's saying that every single fucking person that resides in a larger body has a disease of the brain. Right. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
And that, it's just, that's what is so problematic.
I'm like, haven't we invalidated the BMI enough? like, how is that?
No, because, well, this comes back to, and, you know, Dr. Asher Larmy does amazing content on this of talking about the money steeped in medical care and big pharma and it all coming back around because, yeah. But this quote right here is just, it truly is mind-blowing. And it's also like, I mean, you and I both reside in straight-sized bodies, right? We have thin privilege. But to speak about this and to bring light to it, that like, that is literally saying that anyone that resides in a larger body has a disease and a disease of the brain. Like, what?
Who is Oprah to make that claim? And what's worse is the size of her audience in all of the different spaces and the platform that she holds and the impact that she's had on the way specifically women have viewed their bodies over the past, I don't know, 30 years through all of her trials and tribulations. And, you know, the way that she has shared and talked about her body on social platforms or on massive platforms, I should say, is just to have a statement like that being put out from her. So many people are going to believe that, you know?
Correct. And I think that's where this is such a nuanced conversation. Like I was saying before, of like, I feel empathetic towards Oprah because of how much weight stigma, oppression, discrimination, all these things that she has
personal experience.
Yeah. And it makes, so like for her to say that, right, as providers, we look at that of like, whoa, that is so clear. Like what you think about body is how your relationship with food, like all of these things. But like you said, for someone to have such a large audience and for her to have been like the face of Weight Watchers for however many plus years.
Ever.
So it's there, it's very, very problematic. So,
and if you were going to do like a round table discussion about weight loss medications, right? Like they're not the elephant in the room anymore. They're here and they're not leaving, right? So if we were to do a round table discussion about these drugs, the things, and again, I haven't watched it, but the things that I've been told were not mentioned is number one, the amount of abuse of these medications. So the med spas and the places that are selling them without prescriptions on the quote unquote, like black market, if you want to call it, or the people and celebrities and human beings that are using them incorrectly, if there is a correct way to use them, but those that are using them to lose 5 pounds, quote unquote, right? I think I posted, or I responded to Girl With No Job, Claudia Ashray posted something recently about how she went off of them and how she's starving and she doesn't know how to eat and she doesn't know what to eat and she's regained all of her weight already and so on and so forth. So if we're going to talk about these medications, what else is happening when a person is taking them? Are they required to see a registered dietitian to learn about, you know, fueling their body properly when they don't have the same appetite? Are people understanding that this is a for life investment? All of these things, right? And are we talking about the side effects? And are we talking about the mental health implications and the physical health implications and all of these things before a person makes a decision to go down this road. Because I don't think we are. And I don't think that was discussed on the show last night. But again, I didn't watch it.
How many times are you going to say, but I didn't watch it?
Just want that to be clear.
Because we do. And it's like, and it's funny because I like want to sit down and watch it because I believe it's on Hulu. But then I'm like, but I don't want to waste my fucking time.
Time you don't have.
Right? But I will say like, I'm going to give mine and then I'm going to turn it around to you. I don't know if you have any specific resources that you point people to when they are thinking about taking weight loss medications. I know Delina has posted some really great stuff on how her team supports people, but I did do a masterclass with Dr. Asher Larmy, and we talked about what are the drugs, how do they work? Are these drugs helpful for people with diabetes? Are these drugs recommended for people with insulin resistance or PCOS or intentional weight loss? What are the long-term side effects of these drugs? How do these injections compare to previous weight loss drugs that have been in the market for years? What does the research say about these drugs? And why are we seeing these drugs everywhere? So I point this out because we will link that in the show notes as a resource, because I was just getting inundated with these questions. And of course, as a registered dietitian, I can have my opinions and that come from a lot of, you know, lived experience and working with clients and all of these things. But I wanted to also speak with a physician who is eating disorder informed. And so that is like my go-to resource that I post with Dr. Asher Larmy. So I will share that. And I didn't know if you had anything in particular.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think the only other thing I would bring up about this conversation is I saw a snippet of Victoria Brown or Victoria Garrick Brown, where she had a very honest conversation about, I don't know if you saw this, but about how, you know, even someone like her who considers themselves in recovery or, you know, ongoing recovery, whatever it is. And I'm sure many people can relate to this because I read the comments on the post that like our whole lives, and I'll speak in like the first person because previous versions of me related to what she was saying of like, you were constantly searching for this like magic pill, right? That was like what we were taught was a cure all, because in your brain, when you're in that disordered state, is if I lose this weight, every single one of my problems are going to be solved, right? So our whole lives until now, let's say, you know, that cure all, quote unquote, never existed. But now it feels like there is this magic pill and it's being marketed as that. And I think it's super important to hold space for the recognition of how scary and hurtful that might feel if you've been in recovery, or maybe what it's like bringing up for you, if that is something that you relate to and the feelings that you might be having about like, oh, but now I could. And I think that it's so, so, so important to just continue to have these nuanced conversations and the reminders. If you're seeing these heavy, heavy, heavy air quotes success stories of people seeming like they're happier or, you know, living this life that they always wanted, of really what the reality of that is. And is it really something that you want? And I think that's really just an important piece to like remember, because I know that she was talking about how like a past version of herself would have taken that, right? And like now she's done all of this work and to realize that it's really, there is no magic pill. No magic pill does exist, even though this is the way it is being heavily marketed and like shoved down our throats.
Mm-hmm. I love that you brought that up. And yeah, just holding space for how difficult it is. But I think you hit the nail on the head also, where like they're not going anywhere. The way that our medical community is marching onward and pathologizing obesity and saying that we need to cure or fix the size of someone's body and the money that's going into this and how it is all intertwined. And and but also like wanting to validate for people, like if you do want to do these things or you're desiring or you feel tempted by them, like it makes sense because of the world that we live in. And it's not about shaming or guilting people who are considering them, especially because we reside in straight sized bodies, but having these nuanced conversations, yeah, and hearing the full story, not only the obesity doctors that are getting paid massive amounts of money to push these. So
when people say like, oh, dietitians are paid by Big Pharma, I'm like, do you want to know who's actually paid by Big Pharma? Because it ain't me. Like, so like, let's talk about it.
Or what is it? They say like Big Food. Big that food. Could be all, yeah, we should do an episode on that.
Oh, I love when people tell me I'm being paid by Big Dairy. I'm like, where?
Big where? Dairy. Give me that milk, babe.
Wait, there's two more things I want to say. I know I said I had a hard stop, which I really do. But two more things I want to say. Number one, I'm really bothered by your sweatshirt because is University of Penn State, is that fake? Because we went to Penn State University. What is that?
It was a cheap Etsy knockoff vintage. I've never, ever.
I'm like reading
that.
It. I'm like, what? Where did she get that? It's so cute. But I'm like, I didn't go to that school. I went to Penn State University.
We'll do a quick Google search and see if that one time they were ever
named. Sam's wearing
that.
A sweatshirt that says University of Penn State. That's not real.
It was a cute Etsy vintage.
It is really cute. I was like jealous of it. I'm like, oh, I wonder what school she's wearing. And then I saw Penn State.
You're like, what the fuck?
That's not it. That's number one. And then number two, this is obviously not like a quick conversation, but I think we should go deeper on this at some point. My mom brought this to my attention that Elise Myers is now off of social media. And from what I've heard, and I don't know the full story, but it was related to bullying, and lots of comments about, I don't even know what, again, I don't know. I really haven't been on social media deeply in a while, but, I just think that the mental health implications of social media is an ongoing conversation that we talk about. And I would love to continue that conversation with you.
Yeah. I have not heard the specifics. But yeah, I would love to go there. And as someone who was just off social media for a long weekend, and like, I do have like fears of coming back to it. Like I have a very strange relationship with social media, yeah, and I would love to continue to go there with you too. So that can be some future,
to
future
be continued.
Content. Amazing.
Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of What the Actual Fork Pod. We know there are a lot of pods out there, and we are so grateful that you are here listening with us.
So if you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to subscribe, like, share with all of your friends and faves, and don't forget to rate and review and let us know what you want to hear more of. The more we hear from you, the more that we can make these episodes exactly what you want. We would also love to connect with you on Instagram at WhatTheActualForkPod.
We promise to continue to bring you the hottest topics, greatest guests, and the most fun you can possibly have fighting diet culture bullshit. We love you, we appreciate you, and we will see you next week for more fun.